I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'm starting off this brand new decade by teaming up with Fitbit. What are my plans for the new year? Well, to lean towards joy, to continue on my path of self-discovery, and to set myself new challenges. Over the last few years, I've really surprised myself. Often, it's only when we're tested that we are awakened to our true potential. With Fitbit by my side, I stay focused on my health fitness journey and motivated to go after my goals. And I can't wait to see what 2020 has in store. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Denise Kenny-Byrne, creator of her new brand, The Head Plan, a ray of sunshine and the girl everyone wishes they could be best friends with. 2019 was a tough year for Denise. She supported her husband through his leukemia diagnosis, but their positivity, love and strength shined through every step of the way. This year, she wants to focus on personal growth, healing and happiness. And today, I'm so honoured that she joins me on the Good Glow podcast.
Thank you, Georgie. It's not a good sign when I'm nearly crying already at the intro.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Obviously, on the last episode of season 4, I said that you were my dream guest for season 5. So I'm absolutely so delighted that we get to sit down together. First episode of season 5, the first week of 2020. And I couldn't think of anyone I'd rather be sitting with this morning.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for all your support over the last while. And we were just chatting before we came on air that you were just about to head off on honeymoon last year, and that was really the start of everything changing for you guys.
Yeah, it's so ironic that this time last year we were going on honeymoon. The excitement was high. We were so happy. And I'd actually put out on my Instagram if anyone recommended podcasts. Obviously, I'd listened to The Good Glow, but every second person sent in The Good Glow, The Good Glow. And now here I am, and everything that happened in between, I can't believe it.
It's insane. Mm. And just, I suppose, how much has changed in just such a short space of time. Like, do you look at your life now as before and after?
Georgie, it's like two different people. It's like a totally different life. And that's something I know I've talked to you a lot over the year, but it's something I've definitely really struggled with. You kind of think, is this the new normal? Is everything okay? Will I go back to how I felt before? But life has just changed so much. And, you know, it's actually changed for the better. It's just scary. Change is scary, I think. Mm. I think that's what it is.
Going back to what your life was like before Ciarán got sick, like you were obviously, you were planning a wedding, life was busy.
So I go a little bit back before that, because like Ciarán, I'm from a family of 7, so a really big family. We're all super close. Had a lovely childhood, grew up in Baldoyle by the sea. Always had like childhood pets and everything growing up, mad about animals. Didn't really know what I wanted to do in school. Did my leaving cert, got an okay leaving cert. Went and studied business because I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So it was quite broad. But then I kind of slipped into the PR and media world and I absolutely loved it. So when I met Ciarán at about 25, I was really starting to carve out my PR career. And I'm 35 now, so it was a good 10 years working into that career. And one thing that really attracted myself and Ciarán to each other was the ambition and drive. So I kind of always wanted the big job. Like I was willing to sacrifice lots of other things, lots of nights out and things. And I really went for that. And just before Ciarán got sick, I landed what I would have called then my dream job. So it was like a global role in travel PR. I always wanted to work in travel PR. I'd worked for really big airlines and things before, and it was a dream job. I couldn't believe it. There was obviously going to be lots of travel involved. So I landed that job in September, and between September and Christmas, settling into the role, I'd already been to Italy and Miami, and it was so exciting. And I remember being on honeymoon and actually crying one night at how happy I was in life and how God, we've really landed on our feet. Kieran was doing really well in an acceleration program and always had his own businesses, and everything was just falling into place, so it seemed. So when I look back now, I'm like, God, it really wasn't supposed to be falling into that place that we thought it was. That's what I mean by the kind of scared feeling, like the change, mm-hmm. you know?
Because it was so sudden. And I know Kieran, and he spoke on this podcast, and it was one of the most popular podcasts I've ever done. I get stopped in the street by women saying that they've sent their husbands for health checks mm-hmm. after listening to it, which means the world to me, and I'm sure you.
Yes.
But like, he spoke on that podcast about how he started to look different and feel yeah. different. And it's hard to kind of notice that when you're living with someone day in, day out.
Like, Georgie, I didn't notice that at all. Like, it's bizarre. Like, I obviously did a year in review on Instagram, and I could see Kieran without eyebrows or hair. I didn't see any of that physical change in him. I don't know if it's because I was there every day and like his sister or someone would knock in and be like, oh, your eyebrows are gone now. I'd be like, they're not, they're fine. Like, I honestly didn't see it. I don't know if I was just blindsided by the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was so fast though. Like, obviously honeymoon was amazing, and like, we laugh about it now. I know it's not funny at all, but we laugh about it now because on honeymoon, like, all the signs were there. I know Kieran talked about it, but like, even going for a big walk up the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa, Kieran was out of breath sitting down on a bench, and we hired this private tour guide, and I thought Kieran was suffering a little bit with anxiety because he'd so much going on in work, and we'd always kind of everyone feels anxiety. It's normal to feel anxiety. So myself and this tour guide were pushing books on him, like, you should read The Power Now. Like, he couldn't catch his breath with leukemia, and we're like, you need to read The Power Now, this is all in your mind. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, all the signs were there and we just didn't see them.
How did you feel then that day when the matter rang, like 2 hours after he went for the blood test?
So I was back in work, and you know, after a holiday, you're pumped to get back into work. So we were both really motivated and ready to go for the year. And I came home, I worked from home, but I was at a meeting out that day. And when I heard him answer the phone, I could hear his voice quivering on the phone. He knew it was bad, and I think I knew it was bad as well when we got in the car, and he rang the doctor in Charter Medical Group where he had the screening to get some kind of reassurance. Like, you just want someone to say, oh, you're grand. And when the doctor in Charter said, no, Kieran, I think this is pretty serious, I knew it was serious. And being a professional hypochondriac for 35 years, as soon as I heard that it was a hematologist, I did step aside and ring my mom and said, do you think it's leukemia?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just knew.
And did you say that to
Kieran?
No,
I didn't say that to Kieran. And now let me stress, when I rang my mom and said, do you think it's leukemia? I still had no idea what leukemia was. I just put blood and the seriousness of being called in together. Because another thing we laugh about was when his consultant came in and said, Kieran, I'm really sorry, it's leukemia. And like, I just jumped straight into, like, I'm Kieran's carer. Like, I didn't break down as such. That was Kieran's time to break down. And I turned to his consultant and I said, is it lymphoma or non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? And he looked at me and said, it's leukemia, so it's none of those things. You know, Kieran was like, oh, Denise, you don't know what this is, you know.
And that day, like, Kieran couldn't go home. He couldn't. Did you sleep in the hospital that night?
Georgie, that was Tuesday. I didn't leave the hospital. I don't think I even ate food until Thursday. Yeah. So Tuesday night, we stayed in A&E. I stayed on the trolley with him for the night. And like, I think people forget about the person that's looking after someone, because Kieran was given like Valium or something, obviously, like huge anxiety. I had to just lie there, and I was pacing the room while he fell asleep, and I texted my job that night. I'd built up a really good relationship with my boss, and I just said, look, I don't think I'm coming back. Like, I was willing to give up everything then, as soon as the consultant told us how serious it was and that there could be a possibility of death. I was just floored by the whole thing. So we stayed on a trolley that night and we were moved up to St. Vincent's Ward in the Mater. That's the oncology and haematology ward. And then we stayed there. Kieran had a really bad few nights with anxiety, and I didn't leave until Thursday. And when I say leave, I mean I left for 2 or 3 hours, got clothes and went back in. I moved in and I didn't miss one night that he was in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But you probably... to be away from him felt really weird
no,
at couldn't. That time.
And I knew how much he needed me. Mm. Like, I really think, like, we've looked at other people that have gone through this journey and who don't necessarily have the support Kieran has had. Not just me, but with his family. There was always someone with Kieran and they haven't done as well. And I don't know, like, it's a combination of lots of things, but I definitely think the support Kieran had pulled him through.
Yeah, because he spoke, you know, about that day the positivity kicked in.
Yeah.
Because I suppose you don't have any other option.
No, as soon as I heard there was a plan, like, God, if he had said there's nothing we could do, that's devastating. But if there's something they can do, like, they're going to do it and it's going to work. You know, you can't think any other way.
And as the partner of someone who's sick, and obviously I watched Jamie watch me suffer and put on that brave face and, you know, reassure me time and time again. It was like we were having the same conversation over and over again because he had to just keep telling me that I was going to be OK.
And that's tough for Jamie. I listened to Jamie's podcast. That is tough for Jamie. Like, Jamie obviously had his own support system. Like, obviously, Jamie and myself knew you guys were going to be OK. But we need a bit of reassurance as well sometimes. Mm. And you don't get that from the doctors. You don't.
Where did you turn to get it?
My mum. Was a huge support to me, my family, my sisters, my brothers. Honestly, like, Instagram, I connected with at least 10 people who had been through what Kieran had been through. And I really needed them. I needed them to tell me, oh, his bloods have, like, dropped today. They're not supposed to drop for another 2 days. Is this normal? Like, I needed that. I needed them to say, that's happened to me, or this and that, you know. Mm.
And how did you pull Kieran out of the dark holes?
Funny, I listened to Jamie's podcast, as I said, and I did the exact same thing Jamie did. I studied leukemia, not Googled leukemia, because if you Google anything from a cold to anything, you're gone. But I read lots of medical papers on leukemia, lots of different things. And I had lots of examples of people, like, through Instagram, who have come out the other side and who are 5 years past, who have, some have conceived children naturally after transplant and everything. Like, there's lots of positive stories there. So I shared that with him.
And that's the amazing side of Instagram. Like,
amazing.
That's where this podcast came from, because I was sitting at my desk and I got a message on Instagram from someone telling me that they went on to have children after having cancer. Mm. And I remember going, wow, like, I'm so lucky that I get all of these messages of reassurance.
Yeah.
And how can I share these positive stories with people to give other people hope? But I think people, when you're on Instagram, especially, it's so sensitive because you're sick and you're on Instagram or you're supporting someone who's sick. And I wondered if people were like, why is she? Because society puts sick people away from normality, don't they? And I would come on without my wig on or show off my wig. And I'd wonder, now I never, ever got any sort of negativity or backlash, but I wondered, were some people going, why are you sharing this with us? Did you ever feel like that?
No. Now, I will be honest. Sometimes I do feel like this has been our illness this year. And I'm not taking Kieran's illness away from him, trying to make it my own. But sometimes I don't think people understand the role of the carer. And I feel like this is in my head now. I haven't got backlash, but I do feel like people might look sometimes and be like, why is Denise sharing all that to her Instagram? Like, why isn't Kieran sharing it? Do you know? But Kieran was never an Instagram person, despite the fact what it might look like. I always, before Kieran even got sick, shared every aspect of everything. Like, I bought everyone on honeymoon. Like, I did everything. So I would have never shared Kieran's illness if he wasn't open to it. And the first post Kieran did on Instagram in the longest time was Kieran announcing that he had leukemia and that he needed support, love and everything else from everyone around him. And he wanted me to share that message as well. And we couldn't have got through without it.
It's amazing because I think it also shows that you can have cancer, but you're still the funny guy yeah. you once were. You're still the life and soul of the party.
Like, as odd as it sounds, like, yes, it was one of the worst years ever, but we had so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that sounds bizarre, like, but we had so much fun, like from the baths to having the crack, making friends with patients on the ward. Like, we were best mates with some of the nurses. Like, we just had so much fun.
And you got to spend so much more yes. time together than
like
you would
have. Like, it's a totally
before.
Different relationship now. Like, we had a great relationship before, but I know Kieran touched on this a little bit. Like, we were kind of like passing ships in the night. Mm. So we were both like lusting after that really big career and living for our holidays. Like, that's when we'd spend our time together. So we went from that to now here we are every day, just enjoying every single day.
That's the great thing, I think, about Instagram is that you get to see the person who, like, we got to see Kieran, who's still the same person. I think it makes people maybe feel like they can approach you more. Mm. You know, the way, like, I feel like when people get sick, you're like, oh, I better leave them because, you know, just let them deal with it with their nearest and dearest. Mm. But in fact, like, the more positivity you get, the more messages you get. Like, there was never once when I was sick and my phone beeped that it was an inconvenience.
Yeah.
It's amazing to get that love from people, and that lifts you every single day. Mm. What are, like, the standout moments of 2019 for you? I know when I spoke to Kieran, he spoke about the robin at the window or the born slippy moment with the exercise bike. Like, are they the big moments for you too?
No, I think, like, definitely the night he was diagnosed. I know Kieran doesn't think that, but that was like our lives will never be the same from that day ever. So that was definitely one of the lowest days. When he was told he went into remission after the first round was definitely a high, but then that brought its own anxieties of how do we keep this away. The day we went for a consultation for a transplant and Kieran was, this was probably the lowest day I'd seen Kieran because I think I kind of protected him from all the information. Like, he didn't read up on anything and he didn't know what medicines he was taking. He didn't really know the different effects of things or anything. And it was all kind of laid out on the table that day. So that was another really low day. But from there, the only way was up with Kieran. He got really well in the summer and I think probably the highest day of the whole illness was the day he came home. And like, it sounds really cheesy, but we danced in the kitchen to our wedding song and we were both crying. Like, I'm nearly crying. Like, it was so, it was amazing that it was all over. And oddly enough, only beginning a new journey of recovery, you know?
That's just so amazing. It's so special. Like, you'll remember that forever. It like brings these moments that, like the night that I shaved my head, like these moments that are just so beautiful, you know. In terms of like anxiety and like, it was funny what you said there about the day you went into remission brought its own anxiety because it was like there's all these milestones and you go, oh, once I get to that point, I'll be fine. Or once the day I finish chemo, I'll be fine then. But then the day finishes chemo and you've still been through cancer, you still the day after chemo is the same as really the day before it. Like, it's you've got this like anxiety or this feeling of shock of like your life has changed so much.
So I'll be really honest, I blew myself away this year in terms of how I handled it when Kieran was in hospital. I really only had, I'd say, 5 wobbles throughout that whole 6 months. And even my family were amazed at that. And to anybody that's listening, that's like, I'd never handle that. Like, if you had told me last year that this was going to happen, I probably would have ran away. I wouldn't have been able to handle it, but you can. But I really only started feeling really like crippling anxiety. I felt it once, like the few times in the hospital, but the night of Ciarán's birthday, Georgie, I know you came in. I had one of the worst anxiety attacks ever just before that, because I think that's when it started really to hit home for me. Ciarán was getting better, so now it was all over. I had to kind of deal with what happened. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like Ciarán was kind of dealing with that throughout his treatment. And now I was left here after reassuring him all those months. And I'm like, oh, like it's over. What the hell just happened? And you do get really frightened. Like you do, like our whole future was ripped out from under us. Yes, we've been given it back, but it's a different kind of future. Like family planning is going to be different. Like weekly visits to the hospital. And the birthday to me was when it really kicked off, because everybody was there and everybody's like, oh, you're doing great now. That's it. It's all behind you. And I'm like, it's not though. Why do I feel like this if it's all behind you, you know? And in hindsight, we celebrated his birthday way too early, because he did crash after that. We had a really low 2 weeks and his bloods did crash. And I was in hospital with him and I had to be really honest with Ciarán for the first time and say, Ciarán, I'm really worried. And I cried in with his medical team. We were thinking about going to Spain. And I said, look, this is how he presented. His hemoglobin's fallen off a cliff. What's going on? And I think I worried Ciarán because I was upset, but I needed to be really honest. And they just said, just go away. This is all part of recovery. So we went away to Spain for the 2 weeks and came back. But I made a decision then that I was going to go to therapy, and I've been in therapy since. And like my therapist made a really good point. He talks about post-traumatic stress, but like you really should consider a post-traumatic growth, because you're only going to grow from all these feelings. And yes, it has been crippling at times, and I've said no to so many things this year. Ciarán said yes to way more things than me. I feel like he's got a new like love for life, and I don't want to be a dragging anchor beside him, but I feel like I'm struggling to get back to normal. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Like you're obviously going to be more cautious than you were before, and I found the same thing. It's like when I went back to work last year, and everyone's like, but you're better now.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'll never be back to normal. I'll never go out like I used to. I'll never wake up in the morning and feel it's what I missed was the innocence, like that kind of carefree feeling,
or the old anxieties that were totally irrational, you know. I miss them.
Just normal things.
Yeah, normal things you get worried about.
That's what I found too. It was like, God, it's nice to, when I, you know, was in my recovery, it's nice to have first world problems again. It's nice to be getting annoyed at Jamie over the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So when you got Ciarán home, and it obviously felt so weird for you because you were in survival mode for so long, and then you had him home. But then your job is only probably just beginning a second phase in terms of caring for him and looking after him. And you often send me pictures of the thermometer and everything that you have going on. So you're obviously very, very protective of him now.
Yeah. And it's probably, I need to work on that. And it's something I've talked about in therapy as well. Like, I've said that I was a hypochondriac growing up. My whole life, I've always been like, oh, you've got a cold. Are you okay? You know, but now I'm like that over Ciarán. So we knocked over to my family yesterday, and one of our nephews, my little sister's, or my big sister's little boy, was jumping all over Ciarán. And I was like, Claire, like, is everything okay with him? Like, are you sure he's okay to be jumping over Ciarán? Ciarán was like, I'm fine. But I don't know if he's had a cold or like, I need to calm that down.
Yeah,
I know I do. I know there's an irrational, there's a rational and an irrational part of that thinking process, but I know I need to calm it down. So I do need to work on that.
And you shared a photo yesterday saying that you'd stepped away from Instagram a little bit over Christmas.
Stuff.
And was that nice to get that break?
Yeah, it was nice, but I felt it was really important to do that. I found Christmas a really emotional time, like really emotional. And if you allow yourself to get too emotional about it, it would be overly emotional. Like, we mightn't have had him this Christmas, and then it's just the realization that it's not just Ciarán. Like, we're all going to face some challenge like this in our life. It's just that me and Ciarán faced it a lot sooner than we thought, you know. He was here. It was really emotional for him when we went to the Shelburne and brought his mom to afternoon tea. All those little goals he had that seemed so little to other people were huge to him. And it was just, I was just so emotional about the whole thing.
You spoke about leaving the Shelburne. Some song came on and did you want to leave the room or you did leave the room?
No, I didn't leave the room. That, you know, winter song, I'm not going to sing now, but you know that winter song, it was in like a Vodafone ad years ago, you know, this is my winter song to you again, I'm not going to sing.
Yeah,
she was playing it on a piano and we were right beside the piano, and I just looked at Ciarán and I was like, and he just looked at me, he's like, you're grand. Like, Ciarán's really good at just controlling his emotion. He does allow himself to cry now, but I'm such an emotional person.
Like, can he just, the song general, is just playing in my head now. Yeah. I can just hear it.
And like, is love alive and all. I was like, oh my God. I was like, Ciarán, I have to go. He's like, sit down and face the music. I was like, oh. It was fine, but I just so overwhelmed with love and everything this Christmas. And it's so different. It's not about presents or anything. It's not about any of the stuff it was about before. I know it should have never been about presents, but it's just so much more about family and health, and like, nothing else matters, you know?
Togetherness.
Yeah.
When I was diagnosed, Jamie's mum has this like golf dinner every year, and it was the day before I was starting chemo. And you go down to the golf club, you have a Christmas dinner, and then all the kids and usually the grannies go up and sing around a piano. So Pia, it was her first Christmas, and they started singing Silent Night. Now, myself, Jamie, his sister, JP, Jason and Jean, like, we wouldn't be up at the piano singing. We always sit at the table. And I remember looking over, and Jason and Jean were just looking at me, and I was like, I just need to look for something in my bag. And I got under the table. I was under the tablecloth, and it was singing. Everyone was singing, and I was literally like, I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I must have been under the table for 4 minutes.
Georgie,
I think they were like,
I can't believe you even went, let alone like.
But I was just like, there's something about Christmas music or like songs on a piano or whatever it is that just makes you go, oh my God, my heart is breaking here.
Yeah.
But it was funny when you put up that story, it made me think of that. And I think I said to you that like, each Christmas it will get easier.
Yeah.
You know, that your first Christmas, because so much had changed since last Christmas for you guys.
Yeah.
So are you happy now that it's a new year?
Yeah, I'm happy now. And I don't want to say I'm happy Christmas is over, because I don't want to sound like I didn't enjoy it, because I did. But I am happy that the year is behind us and it's a new year and it's a fresh start. And yes, we'll still be in hospital, and yes, our lives will be totally different, but I'm so happy with what we've been given. Like, we're taking it with open arms and running with it, you know.
And so will Ciarán's Tuesday appointments?
Yeah, they'll continue for the time being. So recovery of transplant is really tough, and like what you were saying, people think, oh, he's had the transplant now, that's great, are you coming out or are you back in work or what are you doing? It's a really long process. They say it can take up to a year. So he has his transplant a year on the 1st of May. So that's our next big milestone, if you want to call it that. So the highest chance of relapse and all that stuff can happen within a year, but we're not even looking at that. His prognosis has been really good, and he's showed signs of different things. Like, I won't get into the medical side of it, but he's showed things like graft versus host disease, which is a really good sign, which means his new immune system, if leukemia developed again, would attack leukemia cells and things.
Wow.
So it's a really good sign. So he's had lots of those good indicators that things are going really well. So yeah, the Tuesday appointments will continue, but they'll get less and less, and we'll just move on with things.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. By being on Fitbit, it allows you to get to know yourself better, to understand your health with data and insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I love being able to track my sleep, keep an eye on my resting heart rate over time, as well as capture key stats from my workouts. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board, as it helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Now, back to the conversation.
Do you find that loads of people turn to you online who are going through tough times?
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask you the same thing. Like, I do, and you can feel a huge amount of responsibility with that. Sometimes I don't know how to really answer people. I always write back. I try to write back to every message I get on Instagram, which can be a lot. But we've had some, like, we've had one or two leukemia diagnoses since Kieran's been ill. Obviously, we reach out to them. We were in touch with Shannon. I know you met Shannon on the late throughout her transplant journey. There's been a good few people that have reached out specifically with something Kieran has, but then also different cancers and different ailments or different things family members are going through, and it can be a lot. Like, people are going through so much stuff that you don't even realise. And yes, we were open, Georgie, and we shared things, but a lot of people don't.
And they're often suffering in silence.
Wonder how they manage, if I'm honest.
Same. And you must get messages from people to say, like, Kieran's positivity and Kieran's story has helped them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was important to us to try and keep it as real as possible. And I did a post on New Year's Eve saying that it is a highlight reel, but we do want to try and keep it real. But I worry sometimes, like, we couldn't show all the bad stuff. Like, Kieran had some really hairy moments in the matter that people don't know about, like down in A&E and everything, like 3 o'clock in the morning, pains, we didn't know what they were, like surgeons walking in talking about operating on him. We didn't show all of that. So yes, Kieran is a really positive guy, but it doesn't mean you're positive every single day, you know? And I think sometimes Instagram can be really damaging in that sense, that you look at other people and you're like, God, they're amazing. Look how they're dealing with things. I could never do that. Or if you look at someone's story and they're having a really good day, but you're having a bad day, I honestly think it's as damaging as photoshopping a bikini picture and saying, why can't I look like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you hear, say, like, Kieran put on a good song, or, you know, that's his kind of happy place. Does that make your heart kind of sing when you know that he's listening to music?
Yeah, so music has been such a huge part of this journey for both of us, because Kieran drags me along listening to his music. But every day in hospital he'd have different songs, and yeah, he might be in the shower and he'd be really upset, but he'd be listening to happy songs to get him in a good mood. He has workout music. I'm always trying to get him to make a Spotify list.
That would be great.
Yeah, so good. He has really good workout music. He had different music he played those nights he was really anxious in the matter hospital. He always played 80s music, so the nurses got to know if the 80s music was on. They'd be like, you alright, Kieran? You know,
like upbeat 80s music.
No, like power ballads. I wanna know what love.
Oh my, how did he do
and
that?
And I was lying there, like, trying not to cry.
Oh my God, Denise, I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, he'd be like, do you think I'm going to be okay? Like, a break your heart. So yeah, music has been such a huge part of the journey. And now, coming out the other side, like, I feel so much pride when I hear the gym beats pumping upstairs. We made a gym for him upstairs because I don't want him to go to the gym because of the germs. But we made, we'll get over that as well. We made a gym for him upstairs. And when I hear the gym music go on, and when I hear he's on his bike, or if I hear him put weights down on the ground, like, I'm just so proud of him.
He's such a happy person.
Yeah,
isn't
he's a really happy person.
Where does he get that from?
I think his mom. I think they're all so positive. Like, they've been through their own stuff. Like, his dad passed away, like, it was the 14th of December, and they all still love Christmas. Like, they love it. They love their family. They love being together. They really appreciate every day. So Kieran had a lot of that before he got sick already, about appreciating every single day. And I just feel like it's amplified to its best version now.
I was blessed. I got to sit beside Kieran's mum at the 40th for a few minutes and speak to her. And she loves him, doesn't she?
Yeah,
like with every bit of
the apple of her eye. Like, and I don't want to say that out loud, but the siblings are probably listening. But he's definitely one of the favourites. Like, we live next door to his mum, and like I'd make lunch for her when I'm making lunch for Kieran. Like, we really look after her. She looks after us as well. But
it must mean so much for her to be included.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's so important. And that was a huge part of our relationship. Like, you have to love Kieran's mom to love Kieran, like, or it's not going to work. And I'm so happy and glad that she's my mother-in-law and I get on so well with her, you know. It definitely wouldn't work if we didn't. Like, we do a lot of things together. Like, she came to Spain with us, and it's been such a huge year for her. Like, that was her son, you know, going through all that. I used to text her every morning when we woke up, tell her how his bloods were. And
that's amazing, Denise.
She used to make dinner for us every night. Like, we've a great little trio going on.
Did it bring you closer to her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing. Talk to us about the head plan. So you told me that you were working on something, and then when you finally revealed, like, so perfect for you.
Yeah.
Tell us everything about it.
So I think throughout the year I've been going on my own, like, personal journey, obviously. And I've always chased the big career, like I said, but I've always kind of been into different things that work for me. Like, you've seen it probably throughout, if you follow me on Instagram, different challenges and things I've set myself just to keep me focused on controlling what I can control. So the head plan kind of came about because journaling has always been a huge part of me, even before Kieran got sick. And when Kieran got sick, I basically had to put a line through all my journals, and they just didn't make sense to me anymore. Like, the goals were not relevant, and I needed to start from scratch. So around March, I took out my own notebook, like blank paper. And lots of people don't know where to start with journaling. Like, it's just a blank page. What the hell do you write down? Like, oh, I want to get a new job next year. But what are all the things you have to do to get your new job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So around March, I took out my notebook, like I said, and I started writing down these headings. And then I started using my own journal that I made myself. I used to reel the pages every day. And in June, Kieran got really sick and he ended up back in hospital for a week. It was a big setback. And we were in the hospital room and Kieran was really down in the dumps. And we were chatting about our future and trying to get excited about things, because that's what you have to do. You have to talk about things in the future. And I said, Kieran, like, I really believe in this guided journal. And I really want to bring it out. And Kieran got really excited. He was like, do it. Absolutely do it. I'll support you 100%. I'll help you in whatever way I can. Believe in yourself and do it. And he was discharged from hospital a week later. And I met a designer. I really knew what I wanted my brand to be like. I knew that the journal was just going to be the first product of a number of things we want to bring out. And I got my brand right. I found my printers and I hit print, and they did arrive in December, Georgie, but I didn't want to launch in December. I felt like Instagram is such an amazing place and it's such a positive place, but it's full of swipe up links and brands, and it can be like a big shopping mall at times. And I didn't really, this isn't about that. It's about an investment in yourself. It's not about buy this as a gift for someone. It's not about that. It's about an investment in yourself. And I wanted to launch after Christmas so people didn't feel pressure. And I wasn't even going to launch until the middle of January, because I don't really like people getting hung up on the whole, it's the 1st of January, new year, new me stuff.
Yeah.
So it's undated. You can start it at any time. But I just felt, look, lots of people are going to be writing their goals, the people that do write their goals anyway. So I launched it on the 27th of December and it sold out in 20 hours. And
oh my God.
Georgie, I didn't sleep for the whole weekend. Like, thank God I didn't didn't have my Fitbit on because I'd say my heart rate was through the roof.
No, I'm holding it here. You brought me one in today. Thank you so much. It's so beautiful. It's so you, I think. I'm so excited to get started on it. You have all these like lovely quotes.
Yeah, so basically the way it works is the start of the head plan is an explanation as to how to use it, right?
Okay.
So lots of people don't know how to journal.
No, I don't really.
Yeah, well, you will now. Lots of people don't know how to journal and the positive effects it can have on your life. So basically, we've set it out that there's a month at a glance, so it's undated. So first of all, you write your whole month in and you mark whatever things are relevant to you in that month.
Right.
For example, I'm always going to write down when the full moon is because it really affects me. Then you go into your long-term goals.
Okay.
So the things you want to achieve under six different headings. So you can't just say, I want to buy a house by the sea or I want to be a yoga master. You know, it's how you get there. So your long-term goals. So that's what you want to achieve in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, even 10 years. Then your short-term goals under the same heading. So they're the steps that you're going to take to get your long-term goals in a shorter period of time. And then you break it down into your weekly goals and then your daily pages and then your weekly reflection as to what you can do better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. How did you feel when you held the finished product in your hands?
I cried. I've been crying the whole weekend. Kieran's filmed me a million times crying, but I am an emotional person, but I can't believe it. Like, to get that and to launch that brand after at the end of the worst year ever is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I'm so proud.
Oh my God, it's so incredible. It doesn't mean that you're going to give up on like the beauty and
I love all that side of things. Like, I did do beauty therapy before. I took a year off, before I went to college and studied beauty therapy. But God, I love doing things on myself, but when it came to other people, I was like, sorry, you know, I'm just not that kind of person, but I love products and I'm still into all that side of things. Mm-hmm. And again, before Kieran got sick, I always chatted on my Instagram about that. I might have only had like 2,000 followers or something, but I that's always been me. So I think the people that follow me now might think, oh, she's only doing this. But if you look back through different highlights, I've always done this.
I think people connect with you because you're literally like one of the girls, but you're so funny as well. And I know that you don't try to be funny, but do you feel a pressure? Like, sometimes I'm like, what am I going to say on Instagram?
Yeah,
you know, that sort of way.
Sometimes, funny you should say that, because I was only talking to Kieran about this in December. I feel like as your followers grow, or Andrea Roach signed me, so I was like, she signed me for me, but am I supposed to be something different now? Like, you do feel a weird, but then it goes out of your head and you're just yourself. Then you're like, huge news talking about washing your own hair.
I just love every day I like log on to see what you're doing, because you're such a happy force. What about your personal goals or your healthy habits? Like, what are you gonna do this year?
So I gave up everything in 2019, and it's something I'm really aware of. And when I've been really anxious and struggling the last few months, Kieran keeps saying to me, well, what are you doing about it? And I haven't been doing anything about it. So I'm definitely going to get back into yoga. Yes, I've been doing yoga at home, but I need to get back into classes. I'm going to get back into yoga. Meditation has been a huge part of the journey for me as well, but I'm going to stretch it out and not just do 21 day meditations when they come up. I'm going to try and meditate daily. I think really helps. I love it. Have you tried meditation?
Yeah, no, definitely. During chemo I meditated a lot. It really helped me. But it's hard then when you just kind of go back to the madness of life to find the time. But it was funny because one week I started meditating like just sporadically recently, and I went to my counselor and she was like, you look so different this week. And I was like, what? And she goes, you look really at peace. And I was like, oh my God,
that's
I've been
the best
meditating
ever.
Yeah, I was meditating every day that week. Yeah. And she noticed it in my face.
Yeah.
Which I thought
that's
was amazing.
So like Kieran says that to me sometimes after I do yoga. He's like, you can see you did a yoga like session or whatever. Mm. It's mad. But like, yeah, it has a profound effect on you. So definitely meditation, yoga. I'd love to do some, my sister owns a holistic center. I'd love to do some more alternative therapies, that kind of thing, some holistic healing. Eating well. I definitely struggled a lot with food this year. When I'm stressed, I struggle to eat. So that's definitely a personal goal, to put on a bit of weight. Lots, like, there's so, like, many things. The world is our oyster, isn't it?
How do you feel, like, when you wake up in the morning? Do you feel happy?
Yeah, I do feel really happy. Like, I do. And I'm blessed that I don't feel up or wake up and feel in any way sad. And the two of us wake up, we go to bed laughing, we wake up laughing. Like, we laugh all the time.
Like, your best pals.
Best pals. Like, and it's really cemented it the last year.
Yeah, you can see.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing every part of the journey with us. It's been amazing to watch. And I'm so, when I look at Kieran now, he looks so well. Mm. It's amazing to see you guys in such a great place. I'm so glad it's 2020, a new year. Mm. And I'm excited to see everything that's ahead for you this year.
Oh, thank you so much, Georgie. And thanks for everything and all the support and everything. You're a huge part of our story as well.
And you are to me.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Fitbit. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. For more on my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.